Happy week of Thanksgiving. Thank you. Somebody asked me yesterday at work, what are you going to preach about tomorrow? Thanksgiving? Every once in a while, we pastors, we get a topic given to us, right? Because we're in the week of Thanksgiving, so obviously we're going to preach about Thanksgiving, right? But see, we're not a church that only recognizes Thanksgiving one time a year, are we? When are we grateful? Every day, all the time. We give God praise and thanks for every moment of every aspect of our life, right? And if we were to be truthful, Thanksgiving is really more about eating. Lots and lots of food, right? And football. Oh, okay, all right. Football, yeah. Family, get-togethers, snacks, lots and lots of pies, a nap, hopefully, right? Especially if you had turkey, there's nothing left you can do but take a nap, right? Okay? That's what Thanksgiving has become. And then, of course, there's always the newspaper in the morning where you got to pay attention to all the sales that are Thanksgiving evening, right? So you can get out to the malls and the stores and the places and do all that shopping for Christmas, right? We got Black Friday coming. Amazing what society is doing, right? Right? What is Thanksgiving really meant to be about? Giving God thanks, right? To stop for a moment and say, wow, the fact that I have a home, something over my head, shelter, I have family, I have friends, I have good health, I have lots and lots of opportunities to serve God and smiley faces all the time around and all kinds of blessings that we have in our home. And we have a spectacular church. Is that what you just said? Yes, we do. We have a lot of things to be thankful for, don't we? All the time. So we want to make sure, I think it's important that, yes, we want to take one moment, one time of a year at least, to stop and truly give God thanks for all of our blessings. And in reality, if you did that on Thanksgiving Day from morning to night, I'm not so sure you could stop your thanks all day, all night, could you? When you really added up all the thanks that all of us have had over the last year, for sure, let alone all of our lives, right? So if we give thanks every moment of every day for anything, small, medium, and large, whatever it might be, I think we'd have an attitude of gratitude, wouldn't we? We would feel different. We would feel blessed. And God would get the glory for that. So there's my Thanksgiving sermon. So, the end. All right. So let's get to the Word of God, shall we, this morning. Are you a 10%er? Earlier, every once in a while when I put a sermon title, somebody before church kind of has an idea about where the sermon's going. And this is what I love about my preaching style, because it's never about what you think it's going to be about, but that's okay. So, because the Holy Spirit has something in mind for you to hear and to know and to understand. So somebody said, hey, I don't want to be a 10%er, I want to be a 100%er, right? And then they also, someone else said, oh, you're going to preach about tithing, giving 10%. No. So we're going to go in a different direction altogether, but I do believe that all of us need to become 10%ers based on this story we're going to listen to this morning. We're going to go to Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. And it says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. So keep in mind, this is Jesus' last year of his life. He's heading to Jerusalem to go to the Passover and also to go to the cross. So this is the last part of his ministry. So he's going with the disciples on the way to Jerusalem. In the previous part of the chapters, particularly in chapter 15 of Luke, Jesus speaks about all the people that are lost that he wants to be sure come into the kingdom of God. He speaks about the prodigal son, about how the kingdom of God is like a lost coin that you go looking for. And it's about the 99 sheep. If you lose one, you go looking for the other. So he had just taught the disciples that. So I want to give you the context of what's transpiring. So he's on his way to Jerusalem, and we notice that he's on the border of Galilee and Samaria. Now, you have to understand that the Galilee was a place where Peter was found, right? That's also right outside of where Jesus was raised. And also, were on the corner there also of Samaria. And one of the things during those times of the Israelites' life and the Jews and the Samaritans that lived there, the Galileans were known as Jews. They followed Jewish tradition and religious teachings, and the Samaritans didn't follow that. And so the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. They had been embattled for numerous years. And so right there at the border, Jesus stops. He's at the border of those two places. And we already know how Jesus feels about Samaritans, right? From one of his other interactions with the Samaritan woman. Remember the woman at the well? He sits with her and says, if you drink of my water, you're going to have living water for life. So he's already showing that we're to love everybody, including Samaritans. All right. So that's where he is. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So understand this. He's entering a village, and the village is something that actually is something where the lepers were set apart. They were actually isolated. During biblical times, lepers were kept out of the synagogue. They were not allowed in the synagogue except for before everybody got there or after everybody left. They were kept separate. They were not allowed to worship together with other believers. It was also imperative that nobody touched a leper because of the skin disease that they had. So they were essentially outcasts in that community and in that time. And so these 10 lepers, they obviously made a group together. There they were together. And as they often did, they would cry out, yelling out for mercy. Now, what the lepers would be asking for was something perhaps that they could eat, something that would help them, something, clothing that they could wear, because they were not allowed in society. So as people would pass by, they would often ask for help. Just get a picture of what the lepers are like. So Jesus looks at them, and he says, go show yourselves to the priests. An interesting statement. The reason he says this is the only way someone could be allowed back into the temple once they had leprosy, to prove that they were cured, they would have to go to the priest and show themselves as having been healed, and then they would be allowed back into the community, back into the worship service in the church. So Jesus says to those lepers, go show yourselves to the priests. Well, it's an interesting statement when you realize these guys have leprosy. What are they going to do when they get to the priest? We'll keep reading. He looked at them, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, the leprosy disappeared. Whoa. So here's what happens. We see that these lepers cry out to Jesus, asking for mercy, asking for something to help them. And what does Jesus do? Heals them, right? And does Jesus even touch them? No. He just says, go show yourselves to the priests. And here's what also transpires. Those lepers take off going, don't they? Does it show the faith of these lepers as to who they know Jesus is? Why? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God, I'm healed. He fell face down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. So what does that tell us about the other 9? They weren't Samaritans. This Samaritan was somebody that should have been rejected by Jesus if the people had their way. The fact that he was a leper and now he's healed makes him whole again, right? But the part of the story that's so awesome is this. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Well, they're heading to the priest, right? They're going back to church, right? They're heading back home. Who knows where they're going, because they're healed also, right? What do we see this one person doing? Thanking God, showing God gratitude. Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go, your faith has made you well. Wait a minute, he was already healed of leprosy. Why does Jesus say, stand up, your faith has made you well? What does the word well mean at this point, do you think? Whole, spiritually well, right? Sometimes we can have physical ailments, right, can't we? And whether or not we're healed of that, can we still be spiritually whole? Yes, we can, because the word also is derived from the word to be saved. So Jesus saved this man in that moment too. What was the faith he was showing? Was he saying to Jesus, I believe in you, you're the Son of God and you're the Son of Man, and now I believe in you and you're my Savior? What was he showing that he had been saved? His gratitude. See, this man was a 10%er, right? Look at it. There were 10 people. One comes back. That makes him 10% of the others. Eureka. There's a few factors that fall into place here. All of those 9 were healed, right, of leprosy. But not a one of them had a heart of gratitude. I don't know about you, but if I was healed of something that drastic, like being an outcast, and nobody wanted me, especially the church, and there was a church that welcomed me in, when I came into that church in that place of love, I would be so full of gratitude that it even existed. Right? Right. And if my heart and soul was healed and made restored again, you know, because I personally believe that many things that happen to us through our lives, good, bad, or indifferent, but particularly the traumatic things, they can wear on a person's heart and soul, can't they? Life events can wound us. And we can have what I often describe as Swiss cheese souls. All kinds of things poked holes in it. We came to this earth and we had this great big, you know, soul, right? And all of a sudden, humanity and other things and life events and awful things that may or may not have happened to us, or we perceived even happened, or how we weren't loved, or whatever the case might be, anything that hurt us and harmed us in any given way pokes a hole in that soul, doesn't it? And the thing about leprosy is this: it was a physical form of an internal soul problem, because it was a scab. It was an unhealed wound, leprosy. So some of us, even in the church today, some of us still have wounds in us that have not been fully healed. So we have, if you will, spiritual leprosy, some of us. Because some of those things in us that have hurt us, that have caused us pain, there's still an open wound and a scab is on it. And if we're not careful, some of us do what with that scab? Oh, yeah, we got to scratch it. We got to tell people about it. Oh, yeah, you think you had it bad? Let me tell you about my childhood. Or if you think your ex is bad, let me tell you about my 17 I had. See, I really can do stand-up comedy. See, I missed the talent show, but there it is. Okay, so. When we really, I'm going to say it a different way. When Jesus comes walking along and looks at us and sees us, wherever we are on that, you know, that threshold, isn't it interesting that there's a border there? And there's a village of these people that were mostly lepers that lived in that village. And when we live in a place where there's negativity and other people like us that are all wounded, If we all live there together, what happens to us? We stay there, don't we? We get stuck there, and we, from time to time, when people pass by, particularly those that are of spiritual nature, like a Jesus walking by us, and we've got our leprosy, all we do is cry out for mercy. Give me some food. Throw me something that'll make me feel better. Give me some temporary relief from this. Can I have some lanacane to put on my leprosy on here? Can you throw me some water because I'm thirsty? Never really realizing that what we need is for our soul to be refreshed, renewed, and restored. Then this is what Jesus does. He looks at the people and he says, go show yourselves to the priest because I'm healing you. And the one that comes back was truly healed, not just physically. But I'm sure that man in that moment was so grateful that he praised God, right? Gratitude lifts your spirits, does it not? Every time we commiserate and we regurgitate and we talk about all the bad things that are going on in the world and in us and all that kind of stuff, how is that being grateful? How does that lift you up? How many of you like to go to pity parties? Can we put it out as an event on Facebook? Everybody come to the free. It'll be free. We could be there hours on end. We won't have any refreshments. Yeah. For anybody here who has been saved and restored, do you show it in your gratitude? Do you tell your story that God has done something miraculous and awesome in your life? Do you tell others what you used to be and now because of what Christ has done in you, that guess what? I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was a leper and an outcast because nobody wanted me. Somebody thought I wouldn't fit into their little box. Somebody said I had to be isolated. We as a community, very often, we've been isolated, right? As though we're outcasts. And we hang out all together, don't we? And we wave the rainbow flag, don't we? And we remind people of who we are. We're the outcasts. That's not what it's designed for. It's designed for us to say we're who we are and God accepts us just the way we are, right? And we come under the flag of the cross of Jesus Christ, don't all of us, right? And not only our community's been rejected, right? Has there anybody here ever not been wanted for something ever? Like last on the list to be chosen for the team? I hate when that happens. We measure people, right, by income and by the car they drive and the house they have and how big their turkey is. And let's not forget the huge screen TV. My TV's bigger than your TV. And as you know, I sell cars for a living, so like the SUVs have to get bigger and bigger and bigger so that the Joneses can keep up with the Joneses. And I want to know, where are these Joneses? Can I just meet them? Because everybody's trying to keep up with them. I want to go find them so I can sell them a car or two or three or four. But isn't that the way we're sometimes measured, right, in the culture we're living in, but also in the churches we're living in? Sometimes we measure churches by what? The size, how much gold there is, how tall the ceilings are, right? Sometimes how many thousands of people attend there, that's a measurement. What does Jesus measure it by? How many souls? How many souls have been saved today? How many lepers have you as a church gone out and brought back in to the fold of God? When we hear people crying for mercy, do we stop and look and say, how can I help you? And not just by handing them something to eat, because that would be temporary, but how do we nourish their souls, right? How do we bring them into wholeness and to salvation with Jesus Christ? And we all have to understand the 90% that are out there may not come into the fold, right? But you know what Jesus did? He healed them anyway, didn't he? So whether or not they go back and follow Jesus didn't matter. They were healed too. Do you see how God is? He healed 100% of them. But one was restored in a different way. Not just physically healed, but spiritually healed. So it's important today for each and every one of you, for those of you that are still have a few wounds within you, it's important for you today to understand that if you cry out to Jesus, however you do that, he sees you. You may consider yourself a Samaritan, somebody unworthy, somebody undeserving, somebody unusual, somebody who doesn't fit quite in to the rest of society. Doesn't matter to God, does it? You fit here. You fit here in this place where God is. And if you have the faith to just allow God to, from a distance, say to you, go show yourself to other people. You've been healed. But you have it within your mind that you really feel that healing and you're grateful for it. That changes you on the inside, doesn't it? So often throughout my journey as a pastor, when people were healed miraculously, they would always say to me, what can I do to give back? What would you have me do? My answer always is this. Come back and give glory to God. Come tell your story about what God did for you so that others can believe and have faith. And then go become all you can be that God created you to be, because all your wounds have been healed. And make the most of your life as a result. So, the question becomes this. How do you become a 10%er? Any ideas? Be grateful? Faith? Spread the word to others? Let God in. And when God gets in, what happens? There's a wholeness that happens, right? Throughout scriptures, we see that lepers are talked about in the Old and in the New Testament. And one of the people that was a leper was Simon. He was a Pharisee. And he invited Jesus to dinner as a result of his healing. And while Jesus was there, all the other people gathered around to see this leper who was healed and to visit with Jesus. When Jesus went to Lazarus' home after raising Lazarus from the dead, Martha and Mary were there. And Lazarus' father, who had been healed of leprosy, was at that dinner. So what this tells me is this. If you used to be a leper, guess what? Invite Jesus to dinner. Invite others to see that you're whole and you're healed. People will know about you. Many of us know about your past because some of you have shared it. But that's what you were. You were a leper, and now you're healed, and you're grateful as a result of it. And you go through life with that gratitude, always praising God, finding some way to praise God, and sharing that praise with others. So how many of you are 10%ers in the room? About 90%. if something good happened to you, you could praise God for it, couldn't you? That's easy. Many of us have gone through hardship, gone through loss, gone through hurt, gone through pain, devastations of all kinds. That too is a form of leprosy that can get on us, emotionally speaking, right? We can be so isolated from others because of it. We don't want to be around others because we feel awkward with that, and they feel awkward with us. And yet we're crying out for mercy because we want relief from that pain, don't we, emotionally speaking, right? And isn't it hard to praise and pray and give God glory in the middle of a storm or in the middle of pain? But guess when you have to do it the most? Oh, I hate that part of gratitude. I just despise it. I want to praise God for my turkey dinner. Yum, yum. Not the burnt mashed potatoes. Because I cooked them. So, learning to praise God in every circumstance, no matter what. Some of the toughest things you'll go through will be the greatest blessings. Somewhere down there, way, way, way down in the future. Right? So if it's going to be a blessing way out there, can you be grateful right here? That, my friends, takes a soul that understands that there's darkness and there's brightness in our life. There's beautiful colors and there's a lot of black. But together, they combine to make life beautiful. And we can praise God for all of it, can't we? So in order to be a 10%er, I'm going to throw a little challenge at you. Thank God for every blessing you get. Even if it's not what seems to be a blessing at the time. Go back to God and say, thank you, God. I know this will give you glory somehow. Thank you, God. And God will help heal your soul in that process of the hurt and the pain. Because it won't be spiritual leprosy that you have. It won't be a wound that's unhealed. It'll be emotional and spiritually restorative. So for all my lepers that are out here, can you show yourself to the priest? I used to have a lot of wounds and scars from life, but I met Jesus, and you know what happened? He healed all that. He restored my soul. All is well, and I'm so grateful for all God has done in my life. Way to go, 10%ers. Way to go. Let us pray. Most loving God, we give you thanks and praise for every aspect of our lives, Lord. We know, God, that you've been in the midst of everything we've ever faced. And we thank you, God, that even though at one time we might have felt like outcasts or less than or bruised or hurt in any way, shape, or form, rejected by many, we know, God, that you accept us all. You come and you find us and you ask us to be a part of your kingdom, a part of your church, a part of you, God. And we thank you for that. We thank you, God, that you have brought healing to us all. To wash away all that pain and all that sorrow and all that suffering and taken away all that hurt us, God. The wounds that came upon our soul, you took those upon your back. And by your wounds, we've been healed. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you that miraculously, somehow, some way, our hearts and our souls have been restored, rejuvenated. We have new life in you, God, and we fit into all the places where everyone is, God, your church especially, God, knowing that you are in our midst and you love us all equally. We thank you and praise you, God. We give you all the glory for every good and awesome gift you've ever given us. Even those dark moments, God, that you can turn to something beautiful. We ask and pray for everyone gathered here and those listening, God, that they too become a 10%er who give you thanks for each and every gift you give us, especially the restoration of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.